Now, back to Lansing's only live afternoon talk show, Ebling and You, on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Welcome back. Jack Ebling here with Scott Eckersley, Ebling and You, 1320 WILS. Scott, we got going very early this morning over at Spartan Stadium and had a chance to talk to a lot of players. First, we got the offense and then the defense, and then after a break, head coach Mark D'Antonio. What stood out to you?
The confidence everybody has. They seem really ready to go, too.
Yeah, and I think that some of that can be taken with a grain of salt, with a bag of salt, actually. And in this case, I thought it was pretty genuine, and there's some reasons for it. And it was interesting to hear from, among other people, Keith Nichol talking about his change from quarterback to wide receiver and changes he sees in the team. You have a couple comments here that we're going to play for our listeners.
Yeah, what do you think we should go with first here? I've got his switch. He's talking directly about the switch from quarterback to wide receiver.
Let's hear that. Let's hear him talk about why he did that.
Kind of outside looking in, and QB are kind of inside looking out at everybody. So it's been a huge, you know, learning curve. First practice, I remember bowl games, I was just, I didn't even know what was going on. I didn't know what foot to put up on the line. I didn't know how to line up. I mean, it was all general. I knew general things, but I didn't know all the, you know, ins and outs of the position. And all that comes extremely smooth now. I feel very confident. I feel like a true wide receiver right now. I feel like a reliable receiver.
I think that aside from his own situation, he talked a little bit about the team. And it was interesting to hear him talk about why he thought this team was going to be different, some of the things that he thought would make this team good. And he said that it was a huge disappointment last year to be 6-7, and that was not acceptable. And they had high expectations that were not fulfilled. So they are very determined to change that.
With everybody we talked to today, it seemed like they really were just disgusted with going 6-7 last year. I know Eric Gordon felt terrible about it. Mm-hmm. Unacceptable was probably the word I heard the most when they described last season. It wasn't a great season, no, but I didn't think it was as bad as they made it out to be.
Well, we heard things from some of the players about their performance. Trenton Robinson described the secondary's play as awful.
That I'll agree with. That I will agree with.
And after talking to Harlan Barnett, defensive backfield coach, for a while, I got him to say it was bad, really bad. And, you know, you don't normally want to say that the unit you've been associated with has not performed up to expectations, but there's really no other way to look at it, Scott.
No, I can't agree more. I haven't been a huge Harlan Barnett fan in recent years. And, I mean, anybody who watched or followed MSU would know that the secondary was terrible last year.
Well, and I think that there are some reasons for that. It doesn't mean to give them a free pass or take them off the hook by any means, but they had to cover a long time on first and second downs. And I think whatever secondary you put out there, you have a competent quarterback and some decent receivers, and you ask them to cover for 6 seconds, you're going to have a lot of open receivers.
Oh,
and that's what happened. They also had a lot of assignment errors. And, of course, we all know about the infamous wheel route that we saw almost every week that they never seemed to master. And even when they were told, watch that play, someone would not react appropriately. And, you know, I think part of that was they had about 9 or 10 guys back there rotating. And sometimes when you do that, you never get any cohesion. You never seem to know where the other guy is. And in an area like the secondary, you can't just cover your specific assignment, your guy. You have to be able to adjust, come off your guy, understand where the pressure is coming from, where you have support. And Michigan State never seemed to do that. But there's a lot of talk this year of going from a 4-3 to a 3-4 defense in at least some situations, and a new position that they're calling the star position.
How much do you think that's going to be in effect? Because we talked to a lot of D linemen today, and they all kind of talked about how they need to generate more pressure, get more turnovers. I mean, there were a lot of D linemen who were there today.
Yeah.
doesn't seem like they'd be switching to a 3-4 too much with all those guys.
Well, they are so strong at linebacker. A tremendous area, and if you figure that the freshman William Golston's going to be on the field.
That's what I was just going to ask. Does that hinge the change on if he is ready to play?
Mark D'Antonio said a number of times that one of the tricks this year is getting the best people on the field. And so I think that instead of worrying about whether they line up in a 4-3 or a 3-4, he's going to say, who are my best players and how can I get them in position to make plays? Because the Michigan State defense last year did not do that, other than with a lot of blitzes, Greg Jones finishing third in the league in sacks. But they had so many problems generating turnovers, takeaways, couldn't do that. And so I think they're going to try to get playmakers out there, and wherever they have to plug them in, they will. I would think that it isn't just Keith Nichol, but the fact that a guy could make that kind of change tells me something about the mindset of this team. As you say, they aren't satisfied. It left a horrible taste in their mouth, everything that happened last year in November and December. And I think that until that changes, they're going to be regarded by most fans as pretenders. So people aren't going to believe all this talk. It's kind of a show me on the field.
I believe it was maybe Dr. B told me when I was talking to him before he came on that you can't really prove anything. He was upset because rivals didn't have Michigan State ranked very well in any of their Big Ten section by section position rankings. And we both kind of agreed, well, you have to prove it on the field.
Right.
And there's a lot of unknowns about this team.
A lot of unknowns, but I am very optimistic about this team, more so than usual. And I'm not saying they're going to win the Big Ten championship. I'm not forecasting they're going to win 10 or 11 games. But I'd be very disappointed if this team didn't win 9 football games. And I think with the schedule they have, when you talk about a team that does not have to leave the state till October 23rd.
And only has 4 road games, yeah.
Yeah, and really, only has 3 games outside the state of Michigan. I would say that's a pretty good schedule. You also don't play the 5-time defending Big Ten champion and preseason number 2 team in the country. That's another big break. So you couldn't have a better schedule than Michigan State has. And they also have, they don't have a new quarterback. They don't have new running backs. Now they've got guys who have really cut their teeth last season, and I think that's going to hold them in very good stead as they start this season. I'd be very surprised if they were not 4-0 in September, and that includes a win over Notre Dame. So we'll see what happens after that, but we'll talk all the football you ever wanted to hear on Saturday morning, 8 to 11, on the Jack and Tom Show. And we're going to talk a little bit more in terms of the Big Ten Network. BTN President Mark Silverman will join us coming up next. We'll be right back. Ebling and You, 1320 WILS.